and welcome to the It's All Cobblers to Me preview show. I'm Charles, and this week, Danny is away, currently at a gig, drinking lots, and not thinking about his children. Or he's at a giant book festival. Delete as appropriate. That's what he's written. So I'm here with the one and only Neil Edgerton-Scott. How are you, Neil?
Look at this. Brought in.
Brought in.
Brought in from the cold for the preview show. First time I've been invited on since you brought it back.
Exactly. A bit like Michael Harriman.
Yeah, I am essentially playing the Michael Harriman role now.
Which, obviously, is your lookalike. And
you know, every time he plays, my mate texts me and went, like, every time he comes on, he's like, you better do something good. I'm like, you know, it's not actually me.
It is you. I've met your missus.
Definitely... You messaged me, like, just saw you on the coach. Like, what are you I'm at home.
Oh, brilliant. I love it. Loads to talk about before we meet our guest, which is Rochdale fan Charlotte from the Dale Way podcast. But before we get to that, Neil, there's loads to discuss. Mm. I'm trusting in you to keep things civil.
Brilliant.
Danny has written everything about this episode for us, because that is the decision that I made, was that if he wanted to bring this back, then he had to do all the work for it. Even when he's away on holiday.
He's not on holiday, he's at a gig.
Well, he is on holiday. He's on a holiday for the whole week. It's half term, isn't it? And he's gone away.
And a gig tonight doesn't count as a holiday.
No, but the whole week he's away. I'm sure he's at an Airbnb or something.
Unless the gig is abroad, I'll give that as a holiday.
I think it's in Wales. Does that count?
Technically, it's a different country.
So there you go, then.
I stand corrected. Once again, I'm wrong.
So, on Monday night, Neil, we all had a jolly good time. As we all tuned in to the West Northants Council full emergency, it's not an emergency, but different council meeting to discuss the Six Hills land deal.
Yes.
First question, did you watch it?
You know what? I did.
Oh, my word.
I did. I watched the whole of it as well.
Times must be tough with an Edgerton-Scott household.
Hey, no, you. I'll go off topic as you would like me to, as always.
Always.
This is when I was designing and writing my new website that I've made.
Oh, yes, of course. Your lovely 49ers in the UK website.
It is, yeah. www.uk49ers.com for anyone that's interested.
Okay. Go check out Neil's writing about American football.
Cheeky little plug. So I was designing and writing that while watching it. So multitasking. I know. I've surprised myself. To be honest, I watched, obviously, speaking-wise, we had Tom Cliff open, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
He was very loud, Tom, wasn't he?
He was very loud.
Him right up. But I thought he spoke well. Then we had James Whiting.
Who everybody was scared of, yes.
Yeah, everyone was cowering. I thought he...
Put that knife down, James. What do you do with that?
He came across a little bit more nervous, actually, I thought. But his words made sense, which was good. And then we had Hayden Spenceley, didn't we?
Very passionate.
I thought he made some really, really pertinent points that often gets forgotten about, actually, in this whole sorry saga. Then we had... Andy Roberts, who I thought, he essentially read out the trust statement.
Yes, he did.
He came across very politician-like, I thought, which isn't always a good thing. That said...
But I would say it's not a bad thing either, in fairness. He gave the point and the view of the trust.
Yes. So this is what I was. This is what I was going to go and say. He actually came across, by far and away, the best representative from that side of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I think, was it, I can't pronounce his name.
Keith Buckby?
Oh, Keith Buckby was he next, was he? Yes. Which I thought, there was some stuff in that which was, I have no idea whether it's true or not. I thought it came across, it started to get a little bit personal, I thought. And then the other random supporter, I forget his name.
Derek,
yeah. I mean, he just came across as he got a massive bee in his bonnet and something against the club. So I struggled with that. I thought both sides could have probably represented themselves a little bit better. I would say from the club side, it's relatively obvious that they'd been primed and prepped what to say. Maybe apart from Hayden, that probably felt a bit more unique. But certainly Tom's and James's were relatively similar, same sort of message on brand as such. So
and essentially what you expected them to say.
There was nothing in it.
Yeah.
There was nothing in it that was kind of like, you know, and that's not to say that either of them did a bad job or a bad people or anything like that. It's just I thought the message was a bit bland, really, and there was nothing new in it or anything. And then vice versa, I thought Andy Roberts, the statement that they read out was a decent enough statement. The other two, I thought, was just quite a lot of nonsense in that. And the problem I have with it, when it starts erring on the side of accusationary and a bit personal and stuff, it, for me anyway, as someone that's listening to that, I lose interest a little bit and stuff because it detracts from the actual facts and what I need to know.
I tell you what I didn't like about it was that, and I can't remember which one it was, so apologies, but there was an insinuation that certain people at the club who work at the club now, who also worked at the club back in the previous regime.
Yeah, that
was. The insinuation was that they had done something wrong. Now, it may not have been that that's what they meant, but it came across to me as if the insinuation was that the people that work at the club now that were working then were implicit in some wrongdoing. And I don't think that is fair at all. Well, on the basis of that, if I'm working for a company and something happens, is that my fault? Do I have anything to do with it? Or actually, am I completely in the dark? Well, More than likely, you're completely in the dark.
The insinuation was when that part of was read out, that I can't remember whether it was Keith or the other guy, whoever it was that was reading that part out, knowingly stopped, looked across, I assume, towards James Whiting, who I think it was about.
I didn't notice that. Okay.
Yeah, if you watch it back. And I just think, you know, look, at the time when, let's be honest, when £10 million went missing, basically.
Yeah. £10.25 million.
Sorry, £10.25 million. Mm. There was, you know, up until a point, the trust were on the board, right?
Well, yeah. But I mean, I would say,
I know they've resigned their position, and I know that's all water under the bridge and stuff, but I don't, this sort of element, I don't understand why is that relevant? Oh, he was at the club when £10 million went missing. So what? So was Sam Hoskins. I think.
And he's just got a new contract.
Yeah.
How dare they reward Sam with a new contract?
For me, we know who we're pretty, and it's pretty obvious, and everyone's pretty confident who is at fault for this missing £10 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all going to come out in the wash slowly, but surely. And I think, you know, listening to the council meeting on Monday, there was definitely in that some insinuation from councillors that there's going to be more charges brought around this year. I think even they might have even said within the next 6 months, which can only be a good thing. So that's all going to come out anyway and stuff. It feels to me a little bit like, do you remember when Alex Ferguson left Man United? And
I do remember that day, yes.
David Moyes then took over.
Yes.
He was in
sounding success, yeah.
He was in a no-win situation, right? He's followed.
Absolutely.
So no matter what happened, no matter what he did, he was going to fail. And it feels a little bit like some of the feeling towards the people still at the football club from certain areas feels that way. It doesn't really matter what you do. It doesn't, like, we need another clean slate. And okay. I don't know whether I agree with that, because I don't have the knowledge and the information. And whether they do or not, I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Okay. I will just so that nobody tries to have a go at us in any way.
Well, they will anyway.
Of course they will. But just to caveat this with the fact that I believe that both Keith and Derek were speaking as individuals, as fans of the football club, and not on behalf of the Supporters Trust. However, they were both introduced or introduced themselves as being directors or involved with the board of the Supporters Trust. So there is still a link between those two people and the Supporters Trust. However, Andy Roberts was the person that gave the official position of the Supporters Trust, which I will say I can understand where they're coming from. They basically, what they're saying is that let's have the whole of that athletics track land kept back for the football club.
I think there's something in it, probably, to be fair. But I think
asking the question, can we please have all of it rather than just half of it or whatever amount it is percentage wise? Let's have all of it. And then you can do what you want selling the rest of it. But let's just keep the rest of that land that's covered by the ACV.
It's that thing. I think there's a way to go about it. And I think that they sometimes get it wrong. So I actually saw a post from my own sins. I read the Hotel End earlier.
Oh, you okay? Do you want some time?
Oh, I didn't poke myself in the eye with needles afterwards. But you know, so that councillor that spoke at the end of the meeting, I forget his name.
Michael Brown.
No, that's the ex-footballer.
No, definitely. That's his name. Councillor Michael Brown.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yes.
I'm just going to confirm
that, but you carry on.
Yeah, you confirm that.
I'm pretty sure he's emailed me. I'm pretty sure that's him.
Councillor Tony Yeboah.
I wish.
I think he's the one. So one of the councillors essentially has signed up to the Hotel End and is
it is Michael Brown. It
okay,
is.
Good. Yeah, so he's interacting with people on there, which is a really, really good thing to see. And he's getting some, you know, he seems like a decent enough fella for a conservative. You know, and he's interacting and he's saying the right things and he's talking. And he's making sense when he talks, which is all you ask, right? And Keith Buckby's on there and he says a load of stuff, talks a load of stuff, which I assume is probably his own personal opinion. And at one point he states on there, the clear trust stance is we back the deal, providing the ACV thing can be sorted. Fine. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily disagree with that approach. I think where they get it wrong and what they need to realise, if you're on the trust board or if you're a heavily involved in the trust and that's what you're known for, let's be honest, that's what Keith is now known for, you have to hold on to your own personal feelings and opinions and because it muddies the water so much and that's what causes a lot of the problem. It's very easy and simple to sit there and say, this post is my own thoughts. It's not going to be seen like that.
Mm.
It doesn't. It's not going to be. And that was what I felt a bit of the issue was with Keith when it is an attack on him. I feel really bad, actually, because he seems like a really nice guy. But it's just how I viewed what he said.
I agree with you. It's that whole thing of, you know, on you see this mostly with people who work for the BBC, as an example. In their Twitter bio, they will write, you know, opinions are my own or something, that to signify that these are not the opinions of the company that they work for. However, there are plenty of examples, and you don't even have to go back that far, really, for this kind of thing, where people have posted on social media something that is quite either left field towards outrageous and in some cases very outrageous. Was it the guy that worked for Savills that said something racist on LinkedIn and he lost his job, basically, because everybody piled in and said, how can Savills have this person working for them who has essentially just turned around and said something completely and utterly illegal and let alone immoral? I do think that there is a learning curve to be had. I will say that they're all volunteers.
Yep,
so nobody is getting paid. However, this has been my personal thought for yonks, which is that if you are connected to something like the trust in a capacity where you are there to make decisions, because essentially board members are there to make decisions, then you've got to be aware of the fact that you will always be, while you're there, while you're in that capacity, you will be being seen as, well, that's your view and that's the view you'll be putting across in a board meeting.
When I
post on social media about the Cobblers under my account on Twitter, I've always got in the back of my mind, people are going to be thinking, oh, that's the guy that hosts the podcast. I always have to think about that. There are several times when I think to myself, and don't get me wrong, I don't necessarily put a massive fence up and say I'm not going to say this, but I choose my words carefully, certainly more carefully than I might do if I didn't do this podcast.
Yeah, I don't. I just tweet.
I know you don't.
Doesn't work half the time. anyone that follows my Twitter will realise.
Yeah.
I think more so than ever, I think the trust do want what's best for the football club. But that's something that gets levelled at them, that they're trying to scupper the deal and they want, you know, the club to go bust. Or that's not true at all.
Look, no.
They're volunteers in general, you know.
And they're fans of the football club.
They're fans of the football club. They're all decent people.
And a lot of them have done an awful lot of work to try and make sure the club keeps going. Don't forget, there's people on that board and people that are members, including myself, who back in 2015, when everything was basically the shit was hitting the fan, put their hands in their pockets or did something to try and get other people to put their hands in their pockets to raise money to make sure the club was still here.
Yeah,
you know,
agreed.
A lot of work has gone into it. So, I, you know, they are fans of the football club. And I do believe that they all want what is best for the football club.
Of course they do.
From their own point of view.
The club shouldn't. I mean, the club, no. The club are very good at being on brand and on message.
Because they're a professional organisation.
They get paid, right? You know, people know it's their jobs. They can't. They've got to toe the line. So, therefore, it's a slightly different situation. I don't know. I just want it to end, Charles.
I mean,
one way or the other, I don't like. And actually, to and I know, like, I had a bit of an attack on the, you know, the words that Keith said and the words that other supporter said. But fair play to him for getting up there, and they obviously care more than I do. So respect.
Fair enough. Obviously, it goes to the cabinet on Monday night. So. The likelihood is, from everybody that I've spoken to that kind of knows about this stuff, they're all pretty sure that it will get passed and voted on and go through at cabinet. The danger is that, especially based on some of the ridiculous questions that were being asked by some of the councillors, who I will be honest with, I can say this because I don't live in Northamptonshire, right? It's no wonder that nothing happens in that county, because quite clearly, a lot of those councillors hadn't actually read up on what it was that they were meant to be talking about that night.
Say nothing happens, Charles.
Well, go on then. What?
I had a note through my door.
Oh, hello.
That if I now want to dispose of my garden waste, I need to pay for it.
Oh, mate, we've been doing that for the last 4 years up here.
Oh, right.
Catching up, pal. If anything, you've had it easy for the last few years. I've been paying £35 for my green bin. Anyway.
But I've come up with a fantastic idea.
Oh, yeah. Purple bins.
Half a black bin.
Oh.
Fill it up with the garden waste. Cover it with rubbish. Jobs are good.
Yeah, okay. It's a good job Danny's not here with his green
party. Danny would be fuming. No deal. You need a composting.
No deal. I was going to say it'll probably get passed at cabinet, and then everything that's telling me is that somebody's going to call it in.
Yeah, so yeah. There's no.
It won't be done yet.
This is why I said I just want it to end, because it's going to drag on and on again.
There's loads more. And to be fair, we've talked longer than I wanted to about this, but it is a big, big topic.
It's one of those things we could talk probably for about 3 hours about it and still not cover it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. So from one never-ending thing to another, which was Tuesday night's 0-0 draw at Scunthorpe. Mm. Oh, my God, it was bad.
Well, it was bad. It wasn't as bad as... On reflection, it wasn't great, was it? But away at Scunthorpe, we always do poorly there anyway.
1980 was the last time we won there.
I wasn't even born. Nor was I. I wasn't. I don't know when I was born, I think. And also, I think on the commentary, Tim Oglethorpe said, the pitch is in good condition. And I was like, it's fucking not.
No, it didn't look very good, did it?
Sorry, I've sworn. It's bloody
it's
not.
It's fine. Carry on.
It was one of those where there was load of little like divots and bobbles in it. And it looked quite hard as well, which is what she said. It didn't it wasn't conducive to our fast, free-flowing passing game, Charles.
Pardon? Yep. Okay. After the game, Scott Pollock was mentioned by John Brady. Not physical or strong enough.
Yeah. My favourite thing about this is people on Twitter essentially telling John he's wrong.
Yeah. I love it.
The man who sees him in training every single day has seen him in the youth team initially as well. Well, I'm sorry, John, you're wrong.
Yeah, you're right.
All right.
My work is sat down all day doing spreadsheets, but I know that Scott Pollock is, you know, definitely a baller and should be in the first team.
Look, from the little bit I've seen of Scott Pollock, I would say he looks like he is a talented enough footballer. He's got ability. But I think it's fair to call out he's never looked the strongest and he's never looked the fittest. So,
I mean, I think he looks quite fit on his Instagram. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, some of those pictures. Whoa, hello, Scott.
Is Insta famous? That's what they say these days, isn't it?
He is. Hashtag United and all that.
Yeah, Insta famous. Getting all the pokes.
Yeah. Okay. Sam Hoskins, speaking about those that you want to poke. Signed a new contract until 2024. Good news. Good news.
News.
News. Just say it's good, and then we can introduce Charlotte and get on with the preview show, Neil.
Yeah, it's good. Welcome, Sam. Hey, hold on. Before we get Charlotte on, I know she'll be probably... She may well have just left Charles.
I wouldn't blame this conversation. I'll be honest. She's probably bored stiff.
And who could blame her? But just quickly on Sam Hoskins, how many years is that now? Because he must be getting close to testimonial.
It'll be... By the time that his contract ends, it will be 9. So I actually am a little bit disappointed that they didn't just give him the extra year.
I bet
there's an option. Just to make sure.
I bet there's an option.
I want a testimonial.
Yeah.
We all want a testimonial. All I really want to see is another goalkeeper sat in a deck chair at 6. That's what I want to see. Was it Keith Welsh that did that?
It was, yeah.
Oh, that's all I want. All I want is a goalkeeper.
His testimonial be against? It'd be against Southampton, wouldn't it?
Maybe.
That's where he started his career, wasn't
that
it?
That is where he started his career. I mean, I did suggest on Twitter, because apparently James Hennigan at the Chronicle and Echo only started a month later than Sam had signed. So what I suggested was we have a Sam Hoskins 11, which could be the 2015-16 team.
Yeah. Or, you know, versus, his favourite players.
Yeah. Versus a Henners All-Stars.
I know what you're thinking.
I am thinking that. Exactly. Podcast. You're thinking. Cobblers Show. Podcast.
Get us in there, Henners.
Chronicle. Get them all in. Get all the media lovies in.
I'll dig out my Puma Kings.
Oh, mate, I'll see if I can fit into my Predators from like 1999.
Get us in, Henners.
We won't. But get us in, Henners.
I didn't know Henners had been at the... How high did my voice go then, by the way?
Very,
I didn't. Yeah. Very high. I didn't know Henners has been at the Cron for that long.
No, yeah.
There
same,
you go.
Almost the same length of time that Sam Hoskins has been a Cobblers hero.
I'll tell you what they should do. They should go out for dinner together, Henners and Hoskins.
Oh, what like that fan did? Do you remember?
Henners and Hoskins, there you go. It could be like a weekly Cron thing.
Oh, do you know, because the Cron have just started that video preview thing, haven't they? Which is excellent. Tim Vickers, who I'm sure used to just be a lowly T-boy. When Jefferson Lake is listening, he'll know what I mean. And the Henners sit on Zoom together and have a chat. They preview the Cobblers, and then I presume that they reverse roles, and then Vickers previews the Saints match. But obviously, we don't look at that.
I did hear that Henners does like role play. So. could we get a jingle sent in for Henners and Hoskins?
Oh. Yes, please. Malcolm.
Henners and Hoskins.
I mean, beautiful. Basically,
won't be hard to beat.
What we need, no, it won't be. what we need is you know, romantics type feel to it. So think
like, do you remember Late Night Love with Graham
Torrington? Neil, you know Graham Torrington. Why didn't you just message him and ask him to do a little jingle for us?
Because Graham Torrington agreed to come on the pod and then I fired him and forgot to reply.
Oh, dreadful, dreadful. Anyway, on that note, please welcome from the Day Away podcast, Charlotte. How are you? Are you okay?
Hi, I'm all good, thank you. How are you both?
A good thank you. I'm just glad that you're still there.
Don't worry, I've not fallen asleep. I'm still here.
Neil has fallen asleep and it was him doing most of the talking. It's dreadful. Now, obviously, to start off with, we'll go back to last year.
Yes.
Wasn't very good for either of us. Obviously, relegated on exactly the same day as us last season. Quick question. Do you feel that that was deserved?
To be fair, I really do, because there were so many chances with us that we could have got out of it and we just brought it onto ourselves. It wasn't the best season because obviously COVID, don't get me wrong, but just in general, manager, the players didn't seem up for it. It was just one of them seasons that I know we got relegated as well, but you know, one of them seasons that you really want to forget and you try your best to think, do you know what? It didn't happen. It really didn't happen.
Oh yeah, we did that, didn't we, Neil? We tried to forget.
Forget what?
Yeah, exactly. I think we genuinely, we do forget. And in fact, we say all the time that that's it. We do not recognise last season as ever having happened. Which I think is the best way forward, to be honest with it. So how have you rebuilt this season? How's it gone for you so far?
Well, to be honest, it's been quite new and fresh all around. We've got a new board in, a new chairman, obviously new manager, new staff. Quite a few new faces we've seen, especially in January. January's been quite a good window for us. Obviously, we've lost Jake Beasley and Aaron Morley, who went to Blackpool and Bolton. But we've managed to get in Max Clark from Fleetwood, that was on a free contract. We've got Paul Downing from Portsmouth on loan, which he was really helping our defence. But then he got an injury, and obviously now our defence is conceding again. So, yeah, that's not very good. We got Luke Charman from Darlington. We actually paid a fee for both him and Tavon Campbell from Woking. And
we were linked to him.
Sorry about that, guys.
Is he any good?
Do you know what? He's actually quite decent. But to be fair, since he's come in, we've not really been creating much for him, which is really, really frustrating. So don't get me wrong, on his home debut we scored, it looks good, but he's just not getting anything for him, really. We're just not creating much at all, Dale. It's frustrating. And we managed to sign Corey O'Keefe on a permanent deal as well from Mansfield. He's a fullback for us and he's definitely a fan's favourite. So, yeah, we're doing quite all right this season, player-wise and fresh faces, but it's just a frustrating season for us again, really, where we seem to be going through phases. 1 minute we can't defend, but we're creating chances. So we're leaking goals. So we're leaking goals from all angles. Then we managed to sort our defence out and we're just not scoring. And honestly, it's just so frustrating, really frustrating.
So everyone's favourite named footballer, Brian Barry Murphy, resigned, didn't he, in the summer?
Yes. He actually went to Manchester City under 23s, I think it was. And it was quite a weird one because it was quite a mixed bag, really. A lot of our fans, is a really likeable guy, don't get me wrong. We've got a lot of time for Brian Barry Murphy, but at the same respect as well, I think it was time for him to go and something fresh because it just got to the point where it was just the same and he'd say the same things in interviews. It was getting quite repetitive. Nothing was happening on the pitch. The season before, we obviously avoided relegation with that Joe Thompson goal. I think it was just time for a new chapter, really, a new management team, and
Robbie Stockdale, isn't it, now?
Yes, it is. It's Robbie Stockdale and Jimmy Shan as our assistant manager. And to be fair, I think this season, to be honest, I didn't expect much. I thought it's going to be a frustrating season. Obviously, a lot of our players went. We sold Ollie Rathbone to Rotherham. He's doing very well. Stephen Humphreys to Wigan. So that was two massive losses for us. And we always thought it was going to be a frustrating season. And it kind of, we we started very well early on, and I think even though we thought it's going to be a frustrating season, we kind of thought, oh, do you know what? We might be going somewhere here. And a lot of us were planning our promotion party in like September, which, yeah, I was one of them. Don't get me wrong. I was one of them. And then I think reality's kind of struck in a bit now. Like, it is going to be a tough season, but because we were doing so well, it's kind of like a divide with the fans. There always is, don't get me wrong. But I think some of them do need a reality check, because we have been punching above our weight in League One, and obviously under Keith Hill in particular, that's the best we've ever been. So obviously, financially, we've not got the budget. We can't compete with these top teams. So I think some of our fans do kind of think we are a League One team, when in reality, we're probably not. We're probably not.
I mean, that's one of the things, isn't it? Because with us, you know, there's... And I think, you know, me and Neil are probably the same on this, is that we see the Cobblers as being a should-be in League One team. And the reality is that actually we're a League Two team that flirts with League One every now and again. And obviously, I mean, for years, Rochdale, was it 40 years or something that you went without a promotion? It was a long, long time.
It was known as the Rochdale Division, like, obviously, Division 3, League 2 at the time. Everyone used to laugh about it, and there were jokes, like, commentators used to call it the Rochdale Division. And it's only really, it's Keith Hill who obviously made us, like, a League 1 team, and he got us our highest ever finish. We just missed out on the playoffs our first season in League 1. And I think that's what some of our fans do forget, where it's like we only really achieved under like Keith Hill. And apart from that, we have been that team in League Two, Division Three, obviously back then. So that's what I think our fans do need to realise as well.
So this season, you're 16th at the moment in League Two. So by the sounds of it, you're... I won't say that that's where you expected to be, but is that around about where you were looking at, or did you think that you would be higher up? Because I know that, like, so for instance, for myself, I think I predicted that the Cobblers would have a top 10 finish, and obviously we're exceeding that expectation that I had personally. Where did you think that you'd be this season, and how does that compare to where you actually are now?
Yeah, well, obviously, like I said, I thought it was going to be a frustrating season, but I will be honest, I did think we'd finish higher. I didn't think we'd get promoted. I didn't think we'd get playoffs. And even if we were in them positions, I think it would be a season too soon with just what's happening on and off the pitch, the rebuilding. I think if we did happen to go up at the time, if it was like obviously capable, it would have been too soon. But I personally would have, I thought we would have finished top 10, like top half of the table kind of thing. I didn't think we would be as low as we are. And the frustrating thing about it as well is we are playing good football. We are our own worst enemy. Obviously, our defence for a few seasons now has just been absolutely shocking. I honestly cannot think of a season where we have had good defence and not leak goals. And I don't know whether it's because we're playing more attacking now and it's just the formation. I don't know. But then we'll go through phases where, like I mentioned before, we've got Paul Downing. He kind of calmed down our defence. And at Forest Green, we was actually beating Forest Green 1-0. Paul Downing got injured, and within 30 seconds of him going off, Forest Green scored. And then obviously we scored again and ended up winning 2-1. And that's just the kind of season we're having. It's really frustrating.
I mean, it does look, because you've scored the same amount of goals that we have, 38. Yeah. Which, I mean, we don't think that's enough, do we, Neil? We kind of look at that. I mean, especially because most of those have come from set pieces, corners or free kicks.
It's boring.
Very boring. But you've conceded 40 compared to our 25. So there is obviously a big, big, you know, gap between those two defences when you put them together in that way. I mean, just looking at the league table now, you've got 35 points. Now, to get into the top 10, Port Vale are currently 10th on 46. So there's an 11-point gap that you've got to actually make up to get into that top 10, which feels huge, you know, at this stage of the season. I actually didn't realize that it was that big of a gap between that. I think last time I really looked to see, you know, the whole of the league table rather than just looking at the top and then the bottom, it all seemed like it was fairly close together. But it sounds to me, and maybe judging on, you know, the scale of those points differences, that you're kind of resigning yourself to a lower half.
Finish. 7 points off the bottom two.
Neil's got you relegated already.
No, honestly, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The only good thing about it, and obviously like, well, obviously not good for them, but the only decent thing about it at the minute is Scunthorpe are obviously a bit behind us kind of thing. But apart from that, obviously, I was at the game yesterday. I was constantly checking my phone for the results because it's just, you're there trying to watch the football, but then in the back of the mind, you're thinking, oh my gosh, we are actually in a relegation battle as well, possibly. So I was just constantly on my phone checking for other results because it is scary times. And as much as obviously I think we have rebuilt and obviously we are a decent team. We're playing good football. We're just not getting the points. We've been getting draws, don't get me wrong, but we need the wins. We really do need the wins. And the game against Scunthorpe on Saturday, we managed to scrape a win together and that was our first win of the year.
Oh, that's... I didn't realise it was your first win of 2022. That's mad.
Yes.
I mean, you mentioned the draws there, Charlotte. 14, that's the highest amount that has been done so far in League Two this season. I mean, it's not like, you know, when I look at like, okay, you've had 9 defeats, but actually that's the best in the whole of the bottom half of the table, only 9, because the next lowest is Port Vale, who are in 10th place with 8. Everybody else, the whole way down the table, has lost more games than you, but we've lost draws. 8. Yeah, we've lost 8. So, I mean, you know, don't forget, Keith Curl always said that you can definitely lose about 15 games and still get promoted.
Yeah, double figures.
So, I mean, that must be a worry that you're drawing so many of those games. And quite clearly, it's not leaving you in a very pretty position in the league table.
Yeah, it's really worrying. And like I'm saying, we'll go through phases where we'll concede the goals, but we've got quite good attacking, so we'll be scoring the goals, but then we'll go through a drought where we're not scoring. Then we managed to hit form again with Jake Beasley, but then we ended up selling him to Blackpool. Honestly, it's that, like I keep saying, it's that kind of season where you think, yes, we've got it here, and then something bad happens. And it's just honestly so annoying. It really is.
Well, look, we'll come on and we'll come back to Jake Beasley in a minute. But obviously the other thing that's been going on with the Dale this season has been to do with the ownership of the football club.
Yes.
And there's been an awful lot going on. And I think, you know, as Cobblers fans, you know, sometimes we think we've got it bad or had it bad.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's... And I don't mean this as any disrespect to you or to Rochdale at all, Charlotte, but in a way, it's sometimes nice to see that we're not alone.
No,
in the 100%. Fact that there's issues. Yeah. Can you just talk us through actually what's been going on? Because I've seen a lot of things in the media talking about how you've been having to raise funds to fend off a heist almost. I can't think of the word that they use for it, but a hostile takeover. That's the word.
Yes.
So what's been going on?
Yeah, so basically Rochdale Football Club, we've been fan owned for 115 years. That is pretty much how it's been. It's the Dale way. And it's always been fan owned and we've never ever had a majority owner.
And right, okay.
It's just a club that's... It's a small club, don't get me wrong. It's the heart of the community. We've obviously got big clubs around us like your Manchester United, your Manchester City, your Bolton. So we're just that small club with like the same fans. We're always asking for other fans to join and stuff. We're always trying to make it, you know, so it's like suitable for kids. There's always activities going on and stuff because we are that club that we, because of the teams around us, we don't attract the fans, obviously. We've not got the budget, so we just rely pretty much on being like a community football club.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we've always been known for being a really well-run club as well, financially. Yeah, we're the kind of club that have to sell players. We don't have a big budget, but we've always been recognised for that, which is amazing considering like what's happened to the likes of Bury, Macclesfield. I know Bolton have had the struggles, Wigan have had the struggles, all the local teams around us. Mm. But in the summer, anyway, we were in the news due to a failed takeover.
Mm.
And one of the men involved, who I can name because it is in the news, is Andrew Curran. And he was actually linked to Swindon. And another guy were linked to Swindon. And unfortunately, that was when Swindon were struggling as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've come through it now, but that was when Swindon were struggling. So the Swindon fans have been really amazing with us as well. And they've actually helped our trust, you know, through some of the issues, which is amazing how different trusts can all come together. But Andrew Curran, he's an advisor to a company called Morton House.
Yeah.
And he was recently in the news himself because he was found guilty of making a homophobic remark in a meeting with the EFL, and obviously to do with Rochdale, and he's actually been banned from football until March.
Okay.
So just by knowing about what's happened and what he's come out with at that meeting, it doesn't really give a good impression of a person. So just judging by that, it's someone who we don't really want in our football club.
Yeah.
But then it did go really quiet for a short while. But then last month, unfortunately, the company Morton House sent a letter saying that they are taking legal action against the Supporters Trust and volunteer directors, which, because obviously they've took it against volunteer directors and the Supporters Trust, that means Rochdale can't actually fund it themselves, the football club. These obviously, you know, for the case.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, that's when, obviously, the Dale Trust have asked, they posted online, we've been doing fundraisers just to raise money to take these men to court so we can stay fan-owned, because it's just horrendous what's going on. And I don't want to go into much detail, but from what I've seen previously and on the internet, the guys who are obviously to do with this takeover and who are taking us to court are the people that we don't want in a football club. We really not. And so in the summer, the fans actually worked really hard and they actually did their own investigations against these men, just digging up information, seeing what they could find to obviously help the EFL, you know, to try, because they have to do a check, VFL have to do checks, don't they, if people want to own clubs. So we're just basically finding any information they can to try and stop what's going on. So they've worked really, really hard. But obviously, because this has happened, our fans and people who have helped with these investigations have obviously put the board and the trust in this position. So just as a football club itself, we're just basically asking as fans if the wider football community could help us in some way. And obviously there's been donations from Arsenal Supporters Trust donated. It's actually, I think it was Borussia Dortmund, Borussia Dortmund has actually donated. Charlton fans have actually been amazing because they are kind of linked in some way. I won't go into details, but they are linked to it some way. Oldham fans have been immense and really, really helpful considering we're local rivals, but that just shows the solidarity in football and how it's not just football kind of thing. We can get together and help each other in some way. And we are a small community club, and as much as it sounds silly, it's not just about football at the end of the day. It's 90 minutes going watching your team, the making friends, escaping from whatever personal issues you might have going on in your life, just an escape. And yeah, it's hard to think of what it would be like without Rochdale if something bad did happen to it.
Yeah.
And just Rochdale Football Club itself, it's about the fans. It's always been about the fans. Obviously, it's fan-owned. It's family-orientated. I don't know if you're familiar with the story as well, but we actually had a super fan who passed away called David Clough, and he dedicated his life to collecting money for Rochdale. We used to have like a lotto, and he'd go around the streets, no matter what weather, collecting money for the club. And unfortunately, he did pass away, and he left every single bit of money he had, he left to the football club. And that actually helped to buy a scoreboard for us, and it also helped the supporters trust buy shares, so we could obviously buy shares into the club, so we did have a majority ownership, which is amazing. And just to recognise what David Clough did for the club, we've actually got a statue of him, and he's sat in his seat, what he's sat in for absolute years. And if you actually went to Rochdale, you'd see it, and it just looks exactly like him. It's mental. And yeah, just things like that just shows like Rochdale is just about the fans, and that's how we want to keep it. It really is.
Yeah, I'm just, so everything that I'm going to say here is taken from a BBC article.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything here is what is actually online and you can see for yourself. So when it comes to, first of all, you're talking about being fan-owned.
Yes.
As a football club. So my understanding of this, and feel free to correct me if I am wrong. So my understanding is that there was no majority.
Yes.
Sort of shareholder in the football club. There were many, sort of maybe five or so, fairly large shareholders.
Yeah.
And the company that you talked about, Moreton House,
yes,
they bought a few of those people out of their shareholding, which then took them over the top of the, you know, to become majority shareholder. But because it wasn't in one transaction, it wasn't subject to EFL approval immediately.
Well, but this is the thing, obviously, from that, but there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and we don't actually know what is true.
We'll move away from that then, because obviously it's very, very complicated.
Yes.
just tell us. So obviously the Supporters Trust is still raising money to be able to, I presume here, to be able to fight this legal case that is being brought against them or against the directors of the Supporters Trust. Is there anywhere that, like, Northampton fans, if they want to, can go and try and offer some help or financial support at all? Is there like a GoFundMe or anything like that?
Yeah, well, the last couple of games has actually been people from the Supporters Trust outside collecting any loose change anyone has. You can also donate on www.upthedalenotforsale.co.uk. And even, we all know, obviously, recent times, we've all not got the same money that we did have. We've just been through a pandemic, so even if you can't offer any money, if you just see an article about the situation, if you follow me on Twitter and you see something I post about it, if you could post a link for people to donate who can, just absolutely anything anyone can do. If you're on Twitter, give it a retweet, or just quote tweet it with anything, just anything like that. Even if you can't donate, that would be so helpful. It really would.
No problem. I'll make sure that there is a link in the description for anybody that wants to go to that site and pledge anything. Then you can do. I'll be there on Saturday as well. I'll make sure I've got some change to throw in a bucket.
Thank you so much.
If we can help out in some way, shape, or form. So we'll move away from all of that just to finish off and give you a bit of a chance to breathe. So you mentioned earlier on, actually, Jake Beasley, and he was your top scorer. But he joined Blackpool in January.
Yes.
And he was replaced by Tavon Campbell, who was linked to the Cobblers back in January. He signed for you guys from Woking. He scored 13 goals this season. I think that's in the conference. He might have scored a couple more for you guys as well. How's he looked so far for you? Has he been the replacement for Beasley?
Well, to be honest, it's not his fault, but the last games he's played recently, we've not really performed very well, and he scored on his home debut, which was really good. He does look like a good player, and he could be a good player, but I just feel like with our attacking recently and just us in general, our performances, we've just not been very well, so we've not really seen what he is capable of.
So who else should we be looking out for then, Charlotte?
Yeah, so we have a forward called Alex Newby. He often plays as part of a front three, but he can play as a winger as well. And now Beasley's gone, he's our top scorer for the season. And yeah, he's a good finisher. He's very skillful. So he's definitely one to watch. Corey O'Keefe, who we signed from Mansfield on a permanent, he's also one to watch. He's a fullback, and he's one of them players that we love because he plays for us, but you'll probably hate because he is a wind up merchant to fans, to players of the opposition. So yeah, he's definitely one to watch. And I'll probably say as well, James Ball. He's a midfielder who we have just signed in January, and he's scored in the last few games. He's got a couple of goals, and yeah, he's your typical centre midfielder. He's also a wind-up merchant as well. He's always there. He's always getting his foot in, so he's another one to definitely watch. I think they're the three I'd probably say.
Okay. Something that I know that Neil loves to do is to look at the players for any particular team and just pick out somebody with a great name. So doesn't matter how good they are or anything like that. But I'm looking through the Rochdale squad at the moment, Neil.
Well, I've got one already.
Have you got one already? Because the only one that I've gone for straight away, and it's not because of the fact that he looks really scary and that I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley, is Matt Dunn.
Oh, really?
he's just saying, no, I'm done. See you later.
I'm a big fan of Danny Cashman.
Oh, good one, that. I like that. Do you think he just carries around cash with him all the time?
You were going down that. I was thinking there's numerous things you could change that surname to, isn't it?
So, oh, hello.
George Broadbent? That's not a bad one.
Not a bad one. I want to know, Neil, who's the Rochdale player with the best hair?
Oh, good question. Good question. Here we go.
All the big questions asked on this podcast, Charlotte.
Best hair. I would say Abraham Adoa. Is that how you pronounce it?
He's got great hair.
Max Taylor looks like he fancies his hair a little bit, I would say.
He's got good hair.
Where is he?
He strikes me as the sort of guy that probably uses straighteners.
I'll tell you what, will any of you have seen Alex Newby's new hairstyle?
Probably not.
He's dyed it bleach blonde. It looks like, do you know the video Eminem Stan? It looks like Stan.
Oh.
Yeah, he might be a winner.
He's gone for a Phil Foden. Is that what the kids would say? Yeah, okay.
I like it. But I'm not going to lie, Charles, if you see this picture, it doesn't look dissimilar to me, you know.
Really? Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Whether that's a good thing for him or not, I don't know. It's debatable. But
he should definitely immediately change it.
Or I should immediately change mine.
No. Definitely he should change it. the association with you is something that he really...
He is a professional footballer.
Yeah, exactly. Can I just ask a very quick question? Jimmy McNulty.
Yes.
How old is he?
I don't even know. How old is Jim McNulty?
I've just looked at this and just established that he's younger than I am, which is dreadful for what I've just said.
Is he actually?
Yeah, a whole year. Well, no, not a whole year. 4 months younger than me. And
also, Paul Downing looks like a tree.
A tree?
But the other thing that I'll say is that he was born in Runcorn, Jimmy McNulty, and being from Warrington, it shows. There we go.
So I've got one more. Joel, the goalkeeper, Joel Coleman.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
He looks like a football manager regen. He doesn't look real. When you look at his picture on Wikipedia, not on Wikipedia, on Google,
yeah,
he does not look real.
It's the, well, the picture that I've got on the Rochdale FC website, AFC website, I should say. Blonde hair with a definite brown beard. Something wrong.
It's really funny because obviously I think he's receding a little bit on top. So that's when it's good. Windy on a windy day, he's got like this little like bit of hair up waving.
Is he related?
Sounds like Mitch.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Oh, you'll see Mitch Pinnock's hair on Saturday.
And Neil, he was only born in 1995. Bless him.
Mitch Pinnock?
No, Joel Coleman. Who are you talking about?
Oh my gosh, 95, Joel Coleman.
95.
No way.
So young.
Hold on, a latecomer for the name.
Go on.
Kasper Mielkowski, is it?
Oh, I don't know. Is he a young one?
He's 18.
I was going to say, yeah. I'm
not. Is he even on the... He's not even on the squad list, are you?
born in Poland.
What are you doing? You need to be careful after the last time you went looking at players, Neil. You can't...
He played in the football trophy, apparently.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. There you go.
I can't remember.
Right, there we go. Right, just to quickly say, last five games for Rochdale, you've had some good results, some bad results, and some indifferent ones. Mostly draws. 1-1 against Port Vale. You had a 2-1 win against Scunthorpe. 3-3 against Harrogate. Lost to Forest Green, as most people do. And a 1-1 draw away at Colchester as well. Predictions. But Danny has a new question that he likes to ask on the preview show, Neil, every single week. I know you don't listen to it, so I'll better tell you what it is.
I don't, yeah.
He likes to ask, Charlotte, how good are Rochdale at defending set pieces?
You can probably tell by my laughing. Not very good.
Okay. Get in. There we go.
As a fan, when the other team gets a set piece against our defence, it's like your team getting a penalty.
It's a dream.
Like, right, well, that's just changed my prediction then, Neil. I don't know about yours.
My prediction has changed.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Is that bad?
Well, in that case, Neil, I'm going to start with you, my friend, for a prediction. Rochdale against Northampton Town Football Club. 3 p.m. Saturday. Yes, I knew that I was coming. Yes, 3 p.m. Saturday. What's your prediction?
Hold on a minute. Yeah. Oh, we'll give a prediction in a minute.
Okay.
We haven't mentioned the chip shop.
We haven't mentioned the chip shop.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh. That's the only reason I turned up tonight, to find out about the chip shop.
Are you coming on Saturday?
No.
Chip shop's not that much for a draw then, obviously.
No. It's more the cobblers, actually. There's not that much of a draw.
Okay, just to make sure, Charlotte, is it still open?
It is still open. Oh. And the funniest thing is, every time someone sees me on Twitter and they go, oh, you're a Rochdale fan, is that chip shop still open? That's the question I get the most.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Neil, let's have a prediction from you.
Prediction. Well, I was going to go relatively conservative, but after Charlotte's explained the problems they have with set pieces, I'm going to go 5-0 Cobblers.
Lovely. Absolutely.
All
from set pieces. Corners or free kicks or a mixture?
Corners. I think they'll all be from corners.
Oh, nice. I'm going to go pick a mix with my set piece delivery. I'm going to go with a 2-1 Cobblers win. Both goals from set pieces, one from a corner and one from a free kick. Neither of them direct, but both of them headed home by a centre-back. Horsfall and Guthrie to score for the Cobblers. There you go. Charlotte, prediction from the Rochdale end.
I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to go for another draw.
Not a loss,
another draw. And I'm going to go with, I think it'll be 2-2. I'm going to go, as the scorers, I'm going to go with Liam Kelly, who's a centre midfielder, and I'm going to go with Alex Newby.
Lovely, lovely.
Can we just point out, we have kept 17 clean sheets this season now?
Yeah, 17. Oh.
Can I change?
No, that's it.
Too late.
It's going to be 3-0 to you guys.
Bless you. Well, look, thank you so much, Charlotte, for coming on, being such a good sport. It's been great having you on the preview show. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
You're very welcome. And as I said before, if you want to find out how you can donate to that fund to try and help the Rochdale Supporters Trust essentially not get sued or whatever it is that's happening, then there will be a link in the description. Now, Charlotte, you are also one half of a podcast that talks all about Rochdale, I believe. This is your chance to plug that podcast and get every single Cobblers fan listening to it for 1 week and 1 week only.
Yeah, so I'm co-host with Isabel on, it's called The Dale Way, and you can find us under The Dale Way on Twitter, on YouTube, on Instagram, on pretty much every social media site going, to be honest.
Good stuff. Brilliant. Make sure you go and check it out, Cobblers fans, at least for this 1 week while we're playing each other. Neil, thank you very much to you for stepping in to Danny's void, which I know is quite big.
I mean, he's a big man to replace. He's a big character.
He is. It's all those books filling up the hole.
And the beard.
And the beard. Exactly. Next week, we'll have a Tranmere fan. Because it's a happy birthday to the Cobblers next week, isn't it, Neil?
Oh, is that next week, is it?
It is next week, yeah. 125 Ooh. Years, Neil. How's Ooh. It feel?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
How does it feel? It's not. I mean, in my time following, it's not been the most enjoyable, but that's what we sign up for, isn't it?
Oh, mate, don't be like that.
Hey, it makes the good times better, right?
It does indeed. Look, thank you so much for listening to It's All Cobblers to Me. This has been the preview show. We'll be back on Tuesday with our regular weekly episode where we'll be looking back, no doubt, on the game against Rochdale. Thank you again to Charlotte for joining us. Thank you for listening. If you want to support the podcast, you can do. Just go to patreon.com/cobblers to me. You'll get the preview show a day early, and you'll also get loads of extra content as well. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.